Bye. We're going to be in Matthew 3 this morning, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. As I shared earlier, it's going to be very, very short today. So this will, we're going to be a little shorter than usual. We have a big training for our kids' church team after service today. Yeah. I want to just thank our sound and worship team. Have you ever tried to drive blindfolded? That was what it was like this morning. Even our bell isn't working, so I'm not sure what's happening, but praise the Lord anyway. We're in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. I'm going to talk to you about what it means to be baptized, and I'm going to share a passage, three things baptism is not, three things baptism does mean, and then we're going to go enjoy this beautiful day. Let's pray, and we'll read the passage. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be our teacher this morning. I pray that you would water the seeds of truth in us as we think about what it means to be a new person in Christ. And for those of us here that know you, may we leave here in a deeper gratitude of you. For those of us who don't know you, I pray for a new awareness of your saving work to come in our souls and upon us, and that we would hear the voice of God calling to us. Lord, for all of us, we just want to hear and experience you. So may we hear the voice that says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." May we hear that voice echoing throughout the earth, your glory covering the earth, that you're moving, you're drawing us, you're always working, Father, even until now. And we invite you to work in this time together. Just continue what you're doing. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 3, verses 1 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is one referred to by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair, a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then all Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea, and all the people of the district around the Jordan. They were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, and they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit in keeping with your repentance. Don't suppose you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who's coming after me is mightier than I. I'm not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He'll thoroughly clear his threshing floor. He'll gather his wheat into the barn, but he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Verse 13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and you come to me for baptism?" Jesus answered and said, "Permitted at this time, it is the way to fulfill all that is right." So he permitted him. And after being baptized, Jesus went up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, coming upon him. Behold, a voice came out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Jesus is baptized. I'm going to share with you this morning three things baptism is not as we think about baptism. If you've been baptized, this applies to you. If you've not been baptized, this applies to you. I would say that in a message like this, it's easy to think, well, I got baptized 15 years ago, and what does this have to do with me? And I would say that baptism is not only an event that happens once, but it's something that, as you notice, the things I ask the people to commit to, it affects all of our lives. So we are all still living out the vow and the oath and the promise and the experience of baptism. So unfortunately, in our culture, our Christian culture, baptism, like many church things, has really been misconstrued into something that it's not. Here's three things baptism is not. It is not a guarantee of salvation. This is commonly taught, and it's simply error. Baptism is not a guarantee of salvation. Salvation through Christ means, as we sing about, that we were people that were helpless to fix and save ourselves. And we needed somebody. We needed a mediator. We needed a savior to come and save us. And there's so many different illustrations that we could use to illustrate this. But simply put, while we were sinners and could not save ourselves, Christ came for us to forgive us of our sin and to redeem us. Therefore, our salvation is not based on any merit, on any work, on any righteousness of our own. So baptism is not enough to get you or I to heaven, just like no other good work you or I could do. It is simply not a guarantee of salvation. The scripture is very clear about that if you're taking notes, 1 Peter 3:21. And so I would encourage you as you think about this that we want to understand it's very important that baptism is not a guarantee for us of salvation. Rather, it is a proof, a symbol that we undergo, experience as proof of our salvation. Baptism is also not a religious obligation. We see in verse 7, the Pharisees came, and John sternly turned them away. Why did he do that? I think they were trying to come and just do another thing. And John knew their hearts, and he said to them, and he called them something very strong language, "You brood of vipers. Why are you even pretending to actually have this thing worked in your heart?" So it's not a religious obligation. It's not something that we do just to check a box and say, well, I did that thing and now I feel better about myself. And thirdly, baptism is not a sign of merit. Baptism is not a sign of merit. In verse 9, John says to this group of religious people that he turned away from being baptized, Don't suppose that you say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. What he was telling them was these were people that they looked at their heritage. They looked at how good they had been. They looked at how much maybe money they had given. They looked at maybe how holy their fathers and forefathers and ancestors were and what place they had in the synagogue and what prominence and fame they had. And what John was telling them is baptism is not just another sign that you're good in front of God. So how dare you blaspheme this beautiful act that is a symbol of repentance and make it into something that's about you? It's not a sign of merit. Three things baptism is. Baptism means I've been saved from my sin. In verse 2, it's very clear. I'm sorry, in verse 8, it's very clear. It says that, well, verse 2 actually starts, and he says, repent. And then verse 6 says that he was baptizing them as they confessed their sin. So with their baptism, it was very clear that accompanying them, taking this act of going into the water, there was a genuine sorrow and a realization that I need help. I need to be saved from my sin. And I won't talk about that much more because we've talked about that a lot and you saw it demonstrated, but I would just say to you the very first thing baptism is it's a sign that I've invited Jesus to forgive me, that I have a relationship with him. You know, that's really the human cry, I think. I think, you know, if you could distill down maybe what's in our hearts at the end of the day, this question is, am I loved? Am I loved? Do I have value? Do I have worth? Do I have meaning? Is there a purpose for me here? And God will answer that question for you and I and all that would ask. And the answer to that is, you are loved. You're worthy of my love because my son died for you. I paid the price for you. And so you don't have to do anything to get saved from your sin except repent. Baptism means that we've been saved from our sin. It also means that we are being saved from our sin. The theological term for this is fancy one. It's sanctification. Philippians 2, if you're taking notes, verses 2 and 12, talk about working out our salvation with, do you know how it ends? Fear and trembling. And this is what this is talking about. Baptism means I've been saved from my sin, but it also means I'm being saved. It means that as I go in the water and come up, I'm making a commitment that it's just not an airplane ticket to heaven, and then I'm going to live my life however I want. And sadly, that's how a lot of first world cultural Christianity is. Maybe you're in this room and you haven't checked in with God for a few weeks or months. I would challenge you. He wants to be part of every morning of your life, and he wants to be part of every evening of your life. He wants to be with you, as Deuteronomy 6 says, when you sit down and eat and when you talk with people over food and when you walk along the road and talk, that your life and your conversation would be full of goodness and joy and peace and not always fixated on trauma and stress and trouble and anxiety and fear. And guys, that is the world we live in, and we are different people. We are invited by God to have a relationship with him. So Philippians says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It means that I've been saved and I acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for me and I've repented of my sin and I've committed my life to him. And now I've got, 30, 20, 40 more years, I don't know, to live for him. And I'm going to figure out through his grace how to do that. I'm being saved from my sin. It's like we're constantly being renovated, and we say, Lord, my house is your house. And he says, okay, well, I'm going to come decorate now. I'm going to do a little renovation also, right? I remember years ago, it was about 2 years ago, my daughter called me and said, Dad, there's water coming out of my ceiling. So joy. And I went and I looked, and surely there was water coming out of her ceiling. Yeah, and so I went up into the attic, and I dug through all the insulation, and I found a piece of pipe. I actually cut out the pipe, and here it is. This is called PEX pipe. It's plumbing pipe, hot water. It was hot water, by the way, coming out of my ceiling. And I dug all the insulation out. It was not fun. And lo and behold, you probably can't see, but I found there's a little pinhole leak right here in this pipe that was going through my attic. And so got the pipe, cut it out, put in some couplings, new pipe, taken care of, no problem. And so when I got this piece of pipe, I began looking at it, and I realized that there was a big crimp right here, and then there's a huge little thing here, and it looked as if someone had run over it. So what happens, if you've ever been in construction, often jobs are thrown up very quickly and rushed, and this piece of pipe was probably part of a 20-foot stick of pipe, is what we call them, and it probably got run over or drug along or, you know, walked on at some point in its life. The plumber who saw that picked it up and was like, threw it on the truck, took it to my house, installed it, which made me wonder how many more run-over pieces of hot water pipe are lurking somewhere in my walls and attic, right? He probably ran over the whole thing of them. And so, you know, I had to do some repair, right? And I'd say that to say to us today that we have been run over in life. Like, you have been run over by people that wanted to hurt you, by yourself, and by the devil. And we need healing. We need saving still. We didn't get it once and we're good. If you think that, you're faking it. And I would just challenge you that God is not impressed. We come to him again and again as to the cross. Lord, come. I need you again. I welcome you in my life. Move upon me. We want to be very careful of that. I remember for years we used to go to the beach and for vacation, and there was this plot kind of between here and in the beach, and you know, you got these long stretches of nothing. You ever see a plot where they put this sign up and it says future home of, and it's like a church or a house or a building? And I remember it was like, you know, Reed Creek, whatever church. The year after, we drove by and the sign was still there. There was this big field full of weeds. Drove by again. I've been driving to the beach for 30 plus years. And I just remember over a 10 or 15 year period, we'd go every summer, we'd get to that spot, and I'd see that sign again. But each year, the weeds were a little higher, the sign, the paint was a little more faded. At one point, the sign was like turned because one of the screws rotted out. And it was future home of blah, blah, blah church. And then I remember one drive, it was just gone. And it was just a field, abandoned field. And I think that, you know, we want to be careful that our life isn't just like a sign, but there's really nothing going on. Because God sees. And that's why John was very stern when he turned people away from baptism. So as I've been telling our leaders, you know, one of our big questions here, I'm kind of wrapping up here, is you know, we've been talking, and today's very full. Next week there will be four people, but that's how it is, especially since pandemic. But, you know, we have this vision to build something out here because we just knocked something down. And so people ask me every week or two, like, so when are we starting? I got my hammer. I'm ready to do it. And the thing I've been telling people, and I said this before we ever started, but there's a few things we're waiting on before we build something. And my impression from the Lord, and I've shared this many, many times, is the Lord right now is not saying, not now, now maybe in 6 months or a year, I don't know. But he's not saying build a building. What he's telling me over and over is clean the inside of the cup. Clean the inside of the cup. Clean the inside of the cup. You know, Jesus' parable. Don't go build something for the wrong reasons and in the wrong heart. It will not amount to anything. Clean this first, guys. Clean this first. Get your money in order. Get your thought life and your purity in order. Work on relationships that are broken. Become sincere in our devotion and prayer lives. Clean the inside of the cup. I'm being saved. And finally, the third thing baptism means, and I'll end with this, is that I am surrendered. This is a question often, I wondered this for many years. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? That was a question John also wondered. You don't need to be baptized by me. I want to be baptized by you. I'm not worthy to take off your sandals. What are you doing here? And Jesus, I think the reason, or one of the reasons he did this, is that his baptism, it was prophetic. It was a symbol of his death and his resurrection. And it was also a symbol of surrender. It was a surrender that, a symbol that I will surrender to what God has for me. I'm not going to ask you to do something I didn't do. So he went before us, and he underwent the baptism of death and resurrection. And he said, I am willing. And you might remember in the, you know, in the garden, he was praying, and he said, Father, if there was any way to avoid this, I would, but your will be done, not mine. So baptism means that when things are hard, with my money, with my marriage, with my health, with my depression, with my anxiety, I will surrender. I have a child right now that might get sent to the Middle East with the military. That is a big weight on me. I have two choices. I can worry or I can surrender. He called me the other day and said, they told me to get a 72-hour bag and get ready. I might be moving over there. He's in Korea right now, which is kind of dangerous, but he might be going to the Middle East. So what do I do? Do I get frantic and watch more CNN and watch more Fox News and worry and worry and worry? Or do I say, like the day he came out and like the day I was baptized, Father, I give you my life again. I give you my life. I hold everything loosely you've given me, my marriage, my children, my money, my ministry, my health. It's yours. And you do with it what you would. It means that we're surrendered. I've been thinking a lot about my little brother, Eric, who has passed away. Some of you guys know him. Some of you guys didn't. And I was thinking a lot about him this week because I was listening to some old 70s Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everyone ever listen to that? And Eric and I used to, we just would do the best imitations of like Motown soul music and country and rap. And I heard one of these songs. It was on Bob FM. It was like the Commodores or something. And, you know, I just had such a fond memory of riding around with him. He was my little brother. He was 3 years younger than me. He passed away of cancer 5 years ago, and you know, was one of my best friends. And I was thinking about him a lot this week because that song came on and I'd remember him next to me and we'd be, you know, trying to, you know, have our own karaoke in the cars, just missing him, you know. Sometimes people go and you miss them and then years go by and you still miss them, but things happen and you're kind of brought back to like, wow, you know, such a beautiful person. And, you know, I was thinking about him this morning as I was just looking over my notes and thinking about Jesus surrendering. And one of the last things Eric did that I got to be part of before he passed away, because his last 3 or 4 weeks was he was on morphine and he was really unconscious. He wasn't aware because when you're dying of cancer, they give you morphine to just basically block the pain so you don't have to experience the pain. And so he was in and out of consciousness, and we had a lot of conversations. And I remember at one particular one, a few people from the church came over to the house where he was at with my mother, and they were they told me they went and visited him, and they said as he was laying there, they were praying. And Eric asked me. He said the song I want sung for me is. You know that song Matt Redman wrote, 10,000 Reasons. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near, my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending, 10,000 years and then forevermore. So I always think about him. But he was getting prayer for some folks in church. And during the prayer in this, you know, 78-pound state, he lifted his hands up because they were praying like this. And I just thought, man, you know, some people live well. Other people die well. He died well. He died surrendered. He never once complained to me once about what was happening to him. He accepted it from God, and he wanted to give God glory in it. And that's what baptism is. It means we are surrendered. Are you surrendered to the Lord today? I would encourage you. We have today we've had 6,229 things happen to try to distract the service, starting with the guitar not working. But it's okay. I love it. I loved having all those kids around the baptismal. Wasn't that beautiful? Man. That was just great. All right, let's all stand. We're going to pray and dismiss this morning. We have a training we're going to do, so we're going to ask you to clear out of this room pretty quickly, and I realize there's a lot of people here, so it's going to be chaos, but that's kind of biblical. So if you would, just respect that. If you would like prayer this morning, typically we have prayer time at the end. We're not going to do that officially now because we do have this event coming, and we want to honor that. But if you'd like prayer, find somebody that looks spiritual, and I'm serious, find someone you trust, and just pull them aside and get prayer. I'm going to close, and we'll go have a great day. Father, may we be surrendered to you this morning. We just open our lives to you again, and we say, come. We ask your blessing on this fellowship today. We ask your blessing on today as we go out of here. Father, I ask your just special blessing again on all that were baptized, and that today would be just a sense of renewal and joy and cheer in their hearts. And we bless you for your presence among us. And we just say that all good things come from your hand. So be honored. In our midst, be honored as we leave here. And we just say again that we surrender ourselves to you. Bring your kingdom among us. I pray for peace on today as we depart from here. Amen. Amen. Guys, bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the day. God bless you. Peace.